You may be seated. We all get wounded in this life. Sometimes people will wound you deliberately. Other times, it's just accidental. It doesn't make any difference, does it? It still hurts the same. Sometimes it hurts more to know it's deliberate. Sometimes our wounds are real. Sometimes we've just imagined somebody did that to us, and yet you still feel that same pain. What do you do with a wounded heart? You see, that's what we're talking about here with this idea of setting the prisoner free, of experiencing that power of forgiveness that I think God's just told us, just told me, is camp, stay here, don't go anywhere. So that's where I'm at here this morning. But you know, try as we might, you cannot prevent pain in this life. We build our walls, we wear our masks, we develop our protective behaviors. You know, we got our little style things that we do. But we're trying to hide ourselves and keep ourselves safe. But pain finds us. About the time you think you got it together, then something else happens. The people and the circumstances of life will cut us again and again. And sometimes there's those people that, you know, they told you they're sorry, and then you forgave them, and then they come back into your life. I'm going to talk today about healing the hurt of the heart. Because I believe everybody's had their heart broken. I believe everybody's been cut in this life. So how do you process pain? Because how you process it can be productive or it can be destructive. It's critical that you look at this. It can draw us towards the Lord. Pain is a great drawing towards the Lord. C.S. Lewis said pain is God's megaphone. You hear God so much more clearly sometimes in the middle of pain. And yet at the same time, pain also can be that which causes us to run away. Friends, God has a plan for healing the hurt of hearts. And so I want you to turn me to Ephesians chapter 4. I want us to just discover this path to healing today. Because Jesus can heal you. Jesus wants to heal your heart. He is the healer. True? He's the healer. And so he's got a process for you to step into. I think oftentimes we just want God to wave a wand and it's done. You know what I mean? It's just say the word, because we know he can do that. And praise God, sometimes he does that in our lives, but oftentimes he invites us into this process, and it's talked about a little bit in Ephesians 4, and I'm going to behave myself, stay off of verse 29, and just go to 30 to 32, okay, because this is all we can touch today. But he says this, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. We talked about that last week. All that work that's been done for us by Christ, that completes us in him and secures us in him. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Now, I love the message of forgiveness. That God in Christ has forgiven me. And I'm sorry I gave him so much to forgive. You know what I mean? I mean, it's exciting to know how much he did for us. But I feel I'm ashamed of how much I've given him to forgive. And yet, here's the thing. He's forgiven you. If your faith is in him, you are a forgiven saint. You've been set apart to him. And yet, how you handle the hurt in your life determines the health of your heart. How you go through this stuff. And so he says right here at the beginning, he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. What's he telling you? You know, that the Holy Spirit is God. He's a person. You're not talking about a force that you're grieving. You're not talking about an inference that you're grieving. He's a person. You can grieve God. You know, there's times when your children, it's shocking, you know, your parents are these invincible people, and sometimes you'll do something and you see the pain that you put into their life. And I think one of the hardest things as a kid, when they were angry, you know, it wasn't fun, but you could kind of deal with it. But when they were grieved, that seemed harder to me sometimes to take than the anger. Friends, there's a principle here. Your response to life can affect God's response to you. How you're handling what's coming into your life is going to affect how you and God are going to walk this out. He says, don't grieve the Spirit. Don't make God sad about this. Don't do the one that's holding you and is keeping you forever. The one that's going to live with you forever, who's promised to dwell in you forever, Jesus said. He says, that one is not to be grieved. Friends, you are divinely secure. The Holy Spirit is there. But how you live with him is a day-to-day choice, isn't it? It's a day-to-day experience that we can walk out. And it's hard to think about this, but you can limit how much God does. Now, God is omniscient. He can do anything. But he has chosen, as a gentleman, to respect your wishes. And say, I want to do this together. And so there's so many exhortations in Scripture inviting us to respond to God. You know, there's no commands in the Scripture saying, Holy Spirit, smack them. You know, there's nothing where the word is commanding God to do. We're given the commands to respond to him because our response affects his response. There's that verse there in James. It says, if you draw near to God, what? He'll draw near to you. And what's the next thing he says? Cleanse your hands, you sinners. As soon as you come near to God, we are singing this song about holiness. Beautiful. What's he saying? Deal with this. Grieves. How? Because we disobey. Because he sees what could be in our life. He sees what we've been asking for him to do. And then we'll make a choice that's completely contrary to what we asked for. And what's he do? He grieves. Isn't that what you do as friends for your friends? As you do as parents for your children or your grandchildren? You see them make choices. You're just like, oh, that's not going to help. That's going to hurt. Now understand, when we talk about this, we're not asking, does he live here? Okay? Because if you're in Christ, he's in you. That's what he said. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him, he says in Romans 8, 9. But what we're asking is, does he lead here? See, who sits on the throne? Who's in control of our lives? Because we have a tendency to do this little dichotomy thing. At least this is the way I see it. Is there this stuff we do, you know, you come on Sunday morning and, oh God, you're so awesome. And we praise him. And then on the way home, when you get the flat tire, it's like, There's this holy life, and then there's this other life. You know, it's like we got these two separate worlds. And yet, your responses to this other life, the outside of the building life, is your response to God. That's your life, and it's His life in you. And so your responses to life are your responses to the Holy Spirit. And so we're told what? Walk by the Spirit. If you walk by the Spirit, what's the promise? You will not, what? Carry out the desire of the flesh. That's an amazing promise, isn't it? You walk by the Spirit, you won't carry out the desire of the flesh. So he says, don't grieve the one that's going to give you the power to do all that God's inviting you to do. Live in right relationship. So we get to choose the principles and the power on how to live. And we do that by what? By trusting. Remember, not by trying harder, but by trusting Him, by believing we are who He says we are. We are the saints, the set apart ones, totally forgiven in Christ. Now, live that out. But how do you do that? When you're being cut. See, when things are going good, that's cool. Just praise God. Hallelujah. You get up in the morning, it's so beautiful like this. The mist was rising off the earth. How can you not praise the Creator? But some of you, if you'd been like me, if we got up this morning and there was a foot of snow on the ground and lightning coming from the sky, you'd be going, wait, what are you doing? I'm in charge. That's what He's doing. Whatever He does, He's doing. Can I trust Him in the circumstances of my life? And can I trust Him with the people of my life? See, it's those things and those situations with people that are challenging us. But understand this. You are secure. You are sealed. Now you're invited to respond to Him with that. Now notice what He says. So He says, don't grieve the Spirit. Then what's the next thing? Also, well, we want to say what? Well, how could I do that? I wouldn't do that. Well, He makes a list just in case. You might not get the point. He says, let all. You know, God could have made it a lot easier on us if He wouldn't have put so many all words in the Bible. If He just says, let some bitterness go. Let go of some of your wrath and some of your anger and some, we'd say, okay, we'd feel good about it, right? We'd say, I'm doing that. But when God says, let it all go, He instantly puts you in a place of neediness, doesn't He? Because you go, I can't do that on my own. I need you to do that in me, God. And so He says, here's how you open up to the Spirit. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. And I got to say, where does that stuff come from? Isn't it from getting cut? And you get mad at people because of what they said or what they didn't do that they said they would do, or that situation that God allowed to come about in your life and you're not happy. Why in the world would... Friends, second principle. You can respond to hurt in a way that hardens your heart. We get hurt. You know, there's a number of different responses you can have in hurt, but there's a response that it will harden your heart. And you know, you've only got one heart. You harden it to anyone, you actually are beginning to harden it to everyone. And that includes God. So He says what? Let it all go. It all has to be dealt with. Friends, as believers, we blow it, okay? We miss the mark in motive and in reality, okay? And other people do that to us. And then you'll harbor that heart, that hurt in your heart. And what happens? All of a sudden you start lashing out at people. You ever found yourself just all of a sudden, you know, you're just, the day's been going just great. And your spouse or your child says something, and all of a sudden zing. And you're kind of like, where did that come from? Right? What's the Bible say? The mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. God says, if you want to have a mouth that always edifies, like he says up here in verse 29, he says, you've got to have a heart that's pure. You've got to have a pure well to get pure water out of the bucket. Your mouth is just the bucket that's gone down into your heart. It's what's coming up. And so he says, deal with this thing. If you harbor hurts, it will harden your heart. And then your heart won't heal. In fact, the scripture says, then your heart won't hear and it won't obey. This whole idea of grieving the Holy Spirit comes out of this concept. In fact, look back here, just a couple of verses. We can't teach all of this, but 4:26, be angry and yet do not sin. Now, for most of us, that's, wait, now that angry and don't sin, that, you know, that's about a 30-second process between getting angry and then choosing the sin sometimes that can, but there's good things to be angry about, friends. There's things we should be angry about. But it's our response, how we choose to handle the anger, that makes it sin. So he says what? Now here's a principle. Do not, from God, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Don't go to sleep mad. Now that's, you know, that's kept me and my wife up really, really late sometimes. Because I'm trying to convince her how right I am about something, you know, right? And I'm angry about a situation. God's had to deal with a lot of anger in my life. You know, and it was only recently, you know, that I began to realize that, you know, you can let go of anger even though you haven't necessarily finished the deal with somebody else. Because the deal is with you and God. That's who you got to trust in this situation. And we're going to talk about it with others here as well. But friends, he says, don't let it go down on your son and go down. Why? Because it gives the devil an opportunity. Now, you know, the idea of saying, I'm going to give the devil an opportunity. Would you come up to the devil and say, go ahead, take your punch? No way. Bible says you're to resist the devil. You're to be prepared for the devil. He says, but when you hang on to anger in your heart, you invite the devil into your house. How else does he get there? He says, you're holding on to something that's his. He says, well, that's my stuff. That's cool. I'll enjoy that with you. Let's have some. Here, take some bitterness. Isn't that good? Tastes sweet in your mouth. Bitter in your soul, isn't that right? Slanders. Oh, it sounds nice coming out. Ugh, later on, it's just cutting you and you realize what you did. Friends, if you harden your heart, you won't heal. But you also won't hear. Turn me over to Hebrews chapter 3. We've referred to this one a couple times and we'll probably refer to it again. All right? Hebrews 3. Beginning up there at verse 12. Take care. Now, when the Bible says take care, it's warning you, don't be careless about this, that there be not be in any one of you an evil and unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Now, we were just talking about the fact that we can harden our hearts, right? He says, be careful you don't get this evil, unbelieving heart. When you harden your heart, you understand that there's something that you're not believing. That's how come your heart. All right? Unbelief creates hardness. All right? I can't chase that all the way out, but I want you just to think about that. All right? But encourage one another day after day as long as it's still called today so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. He says, every day you're to be encouraging each other. One of the reasons we believe in small groups is because we need you to get together with other believers and encourage one another. And one of the reasons we like you to talk about real life issues, not just study a Bible, but talk about what's going on in your life in relationship to the Bible, is because other people can encourage you to keep on the right path, because we get deceived. By what? By sin. Sin is deceptive. If it wasn't deceptive, you wouldn't do it. Because you'd look at that and go, oh, that's poison, I'll stay away from it. But on the top it says candy. See, if it said death, you wouldn't eat it. But it says candy, and so you eat it. So what does he say? He says, be careful. Encourage one another so you won't be hard by the deceitfulness of sin. For we become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me. And all the way through here, chapter 3 and 4, he's talking about this hardening. He says, if you hear, don't get hard because you're going to go deaf. And he talks about that. We've become dull of hearing later on in the next chapter. You become dull. You've heard it so much, you don't hear it anymore. We tune people out, right? You can tune out God. And one of the ways you tune out God is when God points something out to you in your life, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, malice. When he points it out, and you say, later, God, you start hardening up. Later, I'll deal with that some other day, God. I want to hang on to that a little bit longer. That person deserves that. I'm going to get even with them. It hardens you up. Friends, I want you to deal with this. That's why we encourage you to share this way in groups. We encourage you to share this way as friends. Why? Because you won't heal unless you're real. You gotta come out and talk about what's really going on. There's pain, there's problems from our past. All right? And then what does pain do? Pain affects your perception, doesn't it? Isn't it amazing? You know, you hit your thumb and your whole body hurts, right? Pretty soon you got a headache, you know? Or you get a headache and pretty soon your stomach is not doing so good, isn't that right? Your whole body is connected, friends. We have to understand this all works together. So what happens when you get hurt? Think about it. What do you do? Have you ever sat down and thought about, how do I respond to this situation? Because some of you, when you get hurt, there's instant attack mode. Isn't that right? Somebody hurt you, I'm going to hurt you back. All right? And others, it's just avoidance. Okay. I'll stay away from that. Or others, it's, didn't hurt me. I'm a Christian. I don't get hurt. Right? There's all sorts of responses that you can take. But what he's saying here in verse 31 of Ephesians 4, he says, let it be put away from you. He says, you're to release it. Not just, see, don't just deny it. Don't go out and attack it. Don't just avoid it. Release it. And he expresses that in the next verse as forgiveness. That you release that person from repaying you. He says, put it away from you. Understand this. When you hang on to it, something is cutting you. When you hang on to it, where are you hanging on to it at? You're hanging on to it on the blade, friends. And it's going to keep cutting you as long as you hold on to it. Glad I got a couple of nurses here to take care of me later. But I didn't understand. That's what some of you are doing because you're holding on to the blade, but the problem is somebody else is holding on to the handle. You're not in control. And it hurts you and it cuts you. Friends, you have to let go of flesh if you're going to go forward for spiritual health. You can't hang on to this stuff and say, I want to walk with you, God. And remember the guy who said, hey, Lord, I want to follow you, but let me. You come to God with any preconditions, you are not going to be walking with God. You have to lay it down. That's why it's called the cross. You die to yourself. You say, unconditionally, I come to you. You can do what you want in my life. And by the way, I know people hear about that and they just go, oh, why are you worried about him? Can we not trust him with everything in your life? But when we hold on to this hurt stuff, it's like a hot stone. It's weighing you down and it's burning you up. What happens? When we get wounded, when somebody does something to us, we take a message from that, don't we? Oh, they think I'm stupid. Oh, they think I don't really matter. Oh, they ignored me because they don't think I'm... And we take that message and we internalize the lie that contradicts what God says about us is true. And then we begin responding as though that's true. I'm just ugly. I'm stupid. I'm so dumb. And that trash talking, there's one person who's an accuser of the brethren. Do you know his name? It's Satan. He's the accuser of the brethren. God will not accuse you. God will confront you, inviting you to change. He'll say, put this aside. He won't say, shame, shame, shame. God's not into shame. Christ took our shame. He's into repentance. Friends, when you hang on to the past, you cannot live free in the present. It occupies your mind. It occupies your heart. It's like this anchor. And hurt people, this is really profound. I want you to stay with me on this. It's very profound. Hurt people hurt people. You with me on that? When you're hurt, you go out and hurt people. When you don't let God heal this stuff, it creates damage around us. And it binds us up. That's what we've been talking about, this whole issue with the handcuffs the last few weeks. Because what we have a tendency to do is say, okay, I'm going to book this person. Come here. Help me out here, Zach. See, I caught him doing something. He is so wrong about this. Oh, man. Gotcha. And then what do? You cuff him to you. When you're holding on to that, ouch, that hurts. And it does, friends. When you hold on to something against somebody else, it hurts you. And then wherever you go, they go. And whenever they try and do something, it affects you. And so when we talk about this idea that you've got to let go of this, if you don't, it'll damage you. It'll wound you. And so he says, let it go. Now, when God says let it go, you've got a response to that. This is kind of fun. Thanks. I really appreciate you helping out today. Oh, I forgot that key. Let's go this way. When God says let it go, what's the two possible responses to that? Yes. It's yes or no. You're going to believe it or not believe it. All right? So when we talked about the key that sets you free, remember we talked about that being trust. That when you choose to trust, you can let go of something. All right? What, you think it's going to go to your key? Oh, no, this is for my key. See, and this is what we want to do. We want to let ourselves free, but we don't want to let the other person go. And as long as you're still trying to hang on to the other person, you're still tied. Trust says, I'm going to believe that what Jesus Christ did is enough for me and enough for them. I'm not going to hold it. Thanks. I'm not going to hold it. So when he says let go, you've got a choice. You do it or don't. There's the only options you got. Friends, look. God wants you healed. But you got to choose to put it away from you. It's your choice. It's your actions. It's your step. It's your process. When you see flesh manifesting itself in your life, and if you need a list, go to Galatians 5. Actually, Ephesians 4. It's got a pretty good one right there. When you see these things manifest, it's tied to something. And usually, it's tied to your past. Friends, the events of your past do not put you in bondage. It's your response to the event that binds you up. It's what you choose to believe about God, about others, about yourself, about life. That's what binds you up and makes you bitter and angry. This may not be fun, but I want to tell you something. What you take away from a painful encounter is your choice. Every circumstance, death, disease, slander, it's your choice. Nobody else can make you angry. Anger is your choice to that circumstance. Now, there are people who know the things that you choose to get angry about. And so we say, hey, you make me so angry. You did that on purpose. They may have chosen to do irritating things on purpose, but you chose to get irritated. And there's lies that we believe because of the experiences that we have been through that lock up our heart and make it hard. Friends, your past is past. Let it pass. Don't live there anymore. Go forward. Look what he says. 32, Ephesians 4:32. He says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Friends, who's he talking to here in all this list? He's talking to the church. Isn't that right? This is written to the church at Ephesus. He's saying, church people do all this stuff. He says, now, here's what I want you to be. Here's what you could be, verse 31. He says, be this, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. You see, forgiving as you have been forgiven allows the healing to begin. When you let go of that, that's when the healing begins again. The ointment of God, the work of the Holy Spirit begins to pour over. The oil of the Spirit begins to pour over your life and bring healing to those hard spots. When you hang on to that and say, I will not let that go. I will not let them get away with that. I will. Your heart. When you say, God, I will do what you said. I will release. You can become soft. Some of you have been so wounded by people in the past. This is just a huge thing. And we're not saying you haven't been hurt. We're saying you have. What we're saying is by holding on to the blade, there is no solution. It is by letting go of the hurt and the offender that you move towards healing. He says, be tender-hearted. Tender? We don't want to be tender-hearted. I got to be tough. I got to be able to survive in a harsh, cold, rude, mean world. Tender? Tender's how I like my steak. Right? What's that mean? Easily cut. You don't want to be cut. But that's what tender means. Because what means is that I will take every cut back to Christ and let him heal me. Because I can't heal it myself. I'm going to let him handle this stuff. Friends, you control your heart's condition. You know that? The Bible says that again and again. Proverbs 4:23 in the NIV. I like the way it was put in the NIV. Let's read this with me. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You got to watch over your heart. We're not talking about being idiots, okay? We're talking about not being hard. He says, be careful with your heart, because everything flows out of it. And then Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples, they are about to experience one of the most traumatic things they could possibly experience. They're going to watch the execution of their shepherd, their pastor. That's a shepherd and pastor, the same thing. They're going to watch the execution of Jesus Christ. And what does he tell them? John 14. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Don't let it? What do you mean? How can I watch the crucifixion and not be troubled? It's a choice of what you choose to believe about the events that determines the trouble that's going on inside your heart. Oh, you're going to be wounded. You're going to be grieved by many situations that you go through. We're not talking about not feeling. We're talking about not choosing a flesh response to the experiences you go through. See, choice, not chance, determines your heart health. Now, you know that physically, right? Because it's the choice of what you eat, right? Heart health, physical heart health has to do with what? Diet and what? exercise. And so it's what you choose to do, what you choose to eat. And then we found out that there's another. And people always tend to neglect, oh, it's just diet and exercise. No, they found out stress. It's how you view your world can damage your physical heart. We're going to talk more about that next week. But friends, there's a choice that you're making in this whole situation. And you know this, but unwashed wounds get what? Infected. So how quick do you want your wound to begin to heal? That's how quick you need to bring your hurts back to God. You take it back to God, you take it back to God, and some of the people you live around, it's going to help your prayer life. Because you got to go to God all the time. And you think that's a terrible thing, but actually God's brought that painful person into your life to invite you to discover His sufficiency. You ever seen it that way? The trials in this life are what? They're blessings in disguise. Great song by Laura Story. It's so true. Friends, listen. If you don't deal with the infection, what happens? You become incapacitated. And if you don't deal with it at that point, it can kill you. And here's the thing. Satan doesn't have to take you out. He just has to wound you, let you get infected, and pretty soon, he can't take you off of God's team. But when you go on injured reserve, guess what? You're out of the game. When you hang on to bitterness in your heart, you're out of the game. You are no longer representing what God once represented. He's the forgiver of all mankind. He is the forgiver. And when you're a bitter, you're contradicting the message. He says you can't play by the rules, out of the game. Until you deal with this, it'll take you out of the game. And some of you are wondering, why in the world am I not seeing God move with power? I've prayed. You need to obey. Don't just pray, obey. Forgive. Each other, just as Christ also has forgiven you. You see, forgiving others just like Jesus forgives, what? Brings healing. Forgiving others just like Jesus forgives you, it brings healing into your life. So what do we mean? He says, just as. You know, that's a pretty precise thing. It's almost like the all word. Just as husbands are told to love their wives just as Christ loved them. It means in the exact same way. So what do we mean by that? Well, here's what my understanding of that is. It means that on the same basis, I'm to forgive others on the same basis that God forgives me. On what basis does God forgive me? Because I'm so apologetic? Because I've so straightened out my life and I've got it all together? Because I'm so sorry. Is that why God forgives me? No. Because there was a cross where Jesus Christ paid it all. He himself bore our sins upon that, on his body on the cross. That's the basis of my forgiveness. Not my behavior, but his behavior. I trust what he's done. And so when it comes to somebody else, I don't forgive them because of what they've done. I forgive them because of what he's done. So I forgive just like he forgives me. Not just the same basis though. But the same extent. What do I mean? How much does he forgive? Has God forgiven you most of your sins? Not my God. He forgives. He forgives me all. And I am to take that same thing to the other people who are wounding me, to those situations in life that I'm not happy with. Say, I'm going to let that all go to the same extent. And what? With the same purpose. To obey. I'm going to obey God, friends. You cannot follow God without obeying God. This is not about asking God to help. This is about doing what he said. He's already committed to help you. He lives inside of you. Quit saying, Lord, strengthen me. He's already given you the strength. Start doing what he told you to do. I am forgiven. So he says, forgive. You know what it's like. You know what it feels like. He says, give that away. Because it's for your benefit that you let go of the blade. It's for your benefit. We think, if I forgive them, they're going to get away with it. Is God unjust? Leave it with the guy that can handle it. He can deal with it much better than you can. Friends, he tells you to release the event and even the consequences of the event back to him. See, sometimes it's not just the event. It's all the stuff that happened because of what they did. That one thing is this, and I say, I can forgive him for that, but look what it did to my life. Forgive him. Friends, how you handle the hurts of your life determines the health of your heart. It's your choice. Let it go. Release it. What did Jesus say in that verse in John 14:1? He said, let not your heart be troubled. What? Believe in God? Believe also in me. Jesus Christ invited them to move from a faith in a God who was there to the God who manifested himself in the person of Jesus Christ. He said, I want you to believe in me and what I've done for you, what I'm going to do for you, and what he's done. And so I'm speaking to you today. If you're listening to my voice, I'm here to tell you this whole issue of forgiveness will make no sense if you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. See, so until you can do that, the first issue is just, Lord, I need you to save me. Lord, save me. That's your first prayer to get started on the process towards healing is, Lord, save me. If you've never prayed that, today is the day of salvation for you. If you pray that from your heart. But if you've prayed that, then what's the challenge? What are you going to do with what he's done? He gave us a very simple direction in 1 John 1:9. Want to read it with me? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we will agree with God about what God says about sin and the consequences of sin and what he's done for sin and allow him to do what he does with sin, that's called confession. Confession is not oops. Confession is agreement. Saying that deserves death. That's deadly. That's cancer. I will treat it the way you want it treated. And he says what? I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So basically, as I see it, there's two prayers that we need to be working on as believers. First one is, Father, forgive me. Because I've held on to stuff that you've already paid for. I'm trying to charge people for things that Jesus already paid me for. He already paid for them. And the other is, Father, forgive them. Do you want them unforgiven? Father, forgive them. I forgive them. That's a choice that you make to move from hardness to tenderness. I forgive them. Friends, it's a process to come to the point of belief, but there is a point in time when the event must be extended into the reality of your life. You say, this is true. I embrace it. Friends, there's some situations that have happened in your life. Some of you are going, I just can't. I will never. We're going to talk about that next week. I think the title of the sermon is Getting Out of the Torture Chamber. Because that's what Jesus called it. But there's a reason why, and there's some deceptions I couldn't cover all this morning. There's a reason why some things hang on to you. But there's some stuff, friends, that God's brought to your mind today. You need to start today letting go of. So here's the question. Who is it? You know, if you ask God, he'll tell you. Who is it that I haven't forgiven? Who is it that I'm so offended by? And for some of you, it could be an employer or an employee that ripped you off. It could have been a friend or a child. It may have been a parent that's long dead. You still need to let go of it. So you can hang on to dead stuff, friends, and it still cuts you. It can be a spouse or an ex-spouse. But he said, let it go. He said, forgive as I have forgiven you. Father, thank you for the choice that we have to release. Wow, that's so cool. That this is not a burden. This is a blessing that you've given to us to release us into the protection of health. Help us to embrace this. God, would you forgive us for how many times I hang on to the stupidest, pettiest things, and you paid for it all. God, would you just wash over us right now? We just work in our spirits right now that we would not go back to hardness. And we have heard your word today. We have heard you. And say, yes, I will obey you. I will start this journey. I want to be free. Thank you, Father. If you need him, you call on him. He'll always hear. And he'll always answer. Amen. God bless you.